This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
It's time for Speak Legal, conversations with Community Law Otago.
Nina Webb from Community Law Otago joins us once more. Marina, nice to have you with us. Nina, what are we going to be talking about today?
Morning, Jeff. So today we're going to be looking at the complex issue of statelessness and its connection to immigration law. So we can discuss why the right to enter into one's own country is seen as an absolute right under international law, whether exceptions should exist, and how statelessness challenges our understanding of citizenship and belonging.
So why is the right to enter New Zealand seen as absolute?
Yeah, so that's a good question. Under Section 13 of the New Zealand Bill of Rights Act, every New Zealand citizen has the right to enter New Zealand. This right is considered absolute. A citizen cannot be denied entry into their own country. So citizenship is the legal status that underpins a person's full membership in society, giving them the ability to participate fully in civic life. However, questions arise when this absolute right conflicts with wider public interests. So, for example, during the COVID-19 pandemic, Samoa and India denied entry to their own nationals. But international law, specifically Article 4 of the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, to which New Zealand is a party, allows exceptions to some rights. And this occurs in times of public emergency threatening the life of the nation, such as COVID-19.
Okay. So what is statelessness?
Yeah, so the international legal definition of a stateless person is a person who is not considered as a national by any state under the operation of its law. So in simple terms, this means a stateless person does not have the nationality of any country. Stateless people are found in all regions of the world, and majority have lived their whole lives in the country where they were born. Statelessness has severe lifelong impacts, denying individuals a legal identity, access to education, healthcare, employment, marriage, and even burial rights. Many pass statelessness onto their children as well, which perpetuates the cycle.
All right, so tell us about the international conventions on statelessness.
Yeah, so there are two key international treaties that provide important protections and guidance addressing statelessness. The first one is the 1954 Convention relating to the status of stateless persons, and it establishes the legal definition that we stated before. It also ensures that stateless people can live in security and dignity until their situation is resolved. So the convention sets out a minimum set of rights, including access to education, employment, and housing. And importantly, it guarantees stateless people the right to identity papers, travel documents, and administrative assistance. Then the second treaty is the 1961 Convention on the Reduction of Statelessness, and this aims to reduce statelessness over time. So it requires states to include safeguards in nationality laws to prevent statelessness at birth and later in life. So, for example, it provides that children must acquire the nationality of the country in which they were born if they would otherwise be left without a nationality.
So how does statelessness come about? What are its causes?
Yeah, so statelessness can arise from multiple causes, and some of these include discrimination on the basis of race, ethnicity, religion, language or gender, gaps or conflicts in nationality laws, birth in countries where nationality is not conferred automatically, gender discrimination. So, for example, 24 countries still prevent mothers from passing on nationality, state succession, lack of birth registration, which leaves children unable to prove their nationality.
Can you give us some examples of statelessness and its effects?
Yeah, so one example comes from a young woman who could not inherit citizenship because Lebanese nationality law only allowed fathers to pass it on. So neither of her parents could confer citizenship, leaving her stateless. This impacted every aspect of her life. She could not get medical care, insurance, a credit card, higher education, or even enter a hospital. So her story highlights the daily barriers stateless people face, and the irony that her friend's dog even had more access to basic services than she did.
Right, so what can be done to solve statelessness?
Yeah, so as mentioned, governments play the central role in defining who their nationals are. So this means they're responsible for reforms to address statelessness. At the same time, their discretion is limited by obligations under international treaties, customary international law, and general principles of the law. So key steps to end statelessness could include eliminating discrimination in nationality laws, resolving the situation of existing stateless people, preventing children from being born stateless by granting nationality when needed, ensuring all births are registered with proof of parentage and birthplace, and issuing proper nationality documentation to entitled individuals.
Finally, Nina, what does statelessness tell us about immigration?
Yeah, so statelessness exposes the limits of absolute rights, including the right to enter one's own country. While international laws protect citizenship rights strongly, statelessness demonstrates how fragile these protections can be when nationality isn't recognised. So addressing statelessness requires both legal reforms and international cooperation to ensure no person is left without a state to call home.
Yeah, it's such an interesting issue, and quite honestly, it doesn't feel like the kind of world at the moment where it's going to be resolved all that easily. Interesting nevertheless for us to delve into that and what it means. And I guess for most of us here in Aotearoa, New Zealand, it's something hard to imagine. But as you've said, Nina, all over the world we find people in this situation. Thank you so much for joining us, Nina. We look forward to another edition of Speak Legal with Community Law Otago next week.
Community Law Otago, free legal advice and support for the people of Otago. Advice clinic times are available from the website communitylawotago.com. We're based at 169 Princes Street. To make an appointment, call 03 474 1922. Community Law Otago, proud to bring you Speak Legal. Check out the podcast at oar.org.nz.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.